Since the crisis started in August of last year, around 700,000 Rohingya refugees have crossed into Bangladesh from Myanmar. According to the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees, two-thirds of the refugees are women and children. Although the horrors of their experiences have been widely reported, few actually know what it's like inside those communities. Norma Hilton reports.
After being forced out of their home state of Rakhine in Myanmar last year, the Rohingya refugees have turned the camps into makeshift towns. However, the ultra-conservative and patriarchal mindset of the Rohingya still persists in the camps. Girls are married off early so they won't be raped or because they are viewed as a financial burden. This is one of the survival techniques the Rohingya developed to evade persecution at the hands of the Myanmar authorities. Associate Professor Lailufer Yasmin of Dhaka University says women also frequently become pregnant so they won't be raped by soldiers.
It actually serves two purposes. Number one, they are married early so that they can produce a lot of children. Number two, if they stay married, then they will not be subjected to violence against them. As well as if they produce good number of children, they look older. So therefore, they will not be seen as attractive.
Most of the Rohingya women have no knowledge about birth control. Those aware of contraceptives refuse to use them because in their culture, children are seen as a gift from God. Many of them also hold on to the hope they will return to Myanmar, where they have land and can provide for their children.
It's not a part of the society as much as it is in Bangladesh or other parts of South Asia. It is stigmatized, and even after they came here in this part of our country, there were several efforts by the government as well as non-government international organizations to teach them about contraceptives and use of other protective mechanisms. But they are not interested because their primary sort of issue is that they want to increase the number. And then there are other issues. For example, there were some sort of health-related issues. So they were asked to take injection, and through injection they were given protective measures, and then they did not like that. They did not want to be a part of that. So there are several issues working altogether. They're not interested for taking or using any kind of contraceptive.
This is problematic because, according to UNICEF, 60 babies are born each day to camps running out of resources. Senior officials of international non-government organizations have also said sexual assault is rapidly growing in the camps. Security forces are not present at night, when most women, especially adolescents, go use the bathrooms, and this is when they are most vulnerable. A majority of them will not come forward, especially if the violence is committed by members of their own families.
As I said before, that it's a highly patriarchal society, so I'm not sure if women will be allowed or women are even interested to come forward to talk about the kind of violences that they are going through after coming here, after living in the camps. The victims are not very much interested to make it public because they think it's a double shaming for them. Not only that, and they do not want to talk about it beyond their the walls of their homes, wherever they're staying now. So it will be very difficult for an external actor to offer them some kind of help to come out and talk, because in that case, they lose their, you know, that safety of the home, because they do not know where they would end up, whether they will be able to go back to their houses. So there are several layers of problem here. So we need to sort of take into account of that before asking them to come forward and talk about it.
The Rohingya are stateless people, but the Rohingya women are the greatest victims of the crisis. Knowing this, organizations like Save the Children have established girl-friendly spaces where adolescents from ages 12 to 18 gather. The spaces are modeled after schools, so the girls receive both education and a chance to play.
All these spaces are very much necessary for them to try to forget the trauma that they have been through. There are UN, as I said, UN Women's Establishment is working on that. There are other sort of spaces that I have seen, and not only that nowadays they have areas where they can go and speak with each other. So this is something that will be very much helpful for them.
And that story was by Norma Hilton.